Please remain standing for our scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. As I read, listen for a word from the Lord. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Gosh, if I had to sit with one text for the rest of my days and read it every single day, it would certainly be this one. My goodness. Well, friends, today we wrap up the kickoff for our stewardship season. We're calling abundantly more based on this passage and the verbs, the actions of God in this passage. We have been focusing on how God accomplishes so much through us, so much more than we could even ask or imagine. And Paul prays first that we would be made strong in our inner being with power that comes from the Holy Spirit working within us, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. We can't do anything on our own power that has lasting impact, can we? If we're doing kingdom work, God's work, the power has to come from God. There's nowhere else that it can come. And Paul prays that we would know that. Then he says, he prays that we would be strengthened as we are being rooted and grounded in love. We talked about that. We talked about roots that spread wide and that go deep. Roots that intertwine with the roots of other trees to keep the forest standing tall. Roots that draw up nutrients, water, minerals, all of the things needed to support life for the tree. We're rooted in love, God's love. And in that love, we draw everything we need for the life that God has given us to live. And last week, we heard about what it meant to be grounded in love. That word is to laid upon the foundation is what that means. And so if your home is built on a good foundation, it will stand strong. It will stay upright. But if the foundation is shoddy, you've heard the story about Jesus and the parable of the one who built his house on the sand and one who built the house on the rock. When the floods come, the one on the sand will just slide down and wash away. But one whose home is grounded on the rock, well, it will stand tall, secure in whatever storm comes. We stand secure and firm on the love of God. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to be filled with all the fullness of God. Earlier this week, a few days ago, I had the opportunity to go visit a farm owned by one of our church members. And this farm has been passed down. Now it's being inherited by the second generation. And I had wanted to get out there before the patriarch passed away in June, and he had gotten sick and we couldn't make it happen. And so I went out there with his son, and we drove around the pasture and the farmland, and he showed us all around. And this just happens to be in the area where I grew up, kind of my old stomping ground, and my family farmed. And so to be there in the fields and to be there in the pastures with the cattle and to smell all the smells, you know, all the smells. Some people say it smells like money, right? And for a rancher, it does. It took me back to a place running around a ranch when I was a little boy. One of the jobs that my great-grandfather would give me was refilling the horse trough. And so what we would normally do is, you know, it was probably 50 gallons or something like that. It was just huge. And so we would put a hose in it and we'd turn it on and then we'd go do other things. We'd go play, we'd go ride our bikes or whatever, and we'd come back by and check on it every once in a while. Sometimes we would get busy and forget. You ever forget? I'd forget sometimes. And I'd come back and the water was just spilling over the top right, just continually, like the Jesus fountain out here, right? It just keeps spilling over and making the ground in front of it muddy. And the cows and the horses don't care, right? They're just thirsty and they'll trot through the mud to go and get a drink of water. But then I've noticed, you know, when that happens, they get mud all over their hooves and their legs, and you know, they're just muddy. And the dry mud cakes on their hair, and it just stays there until the next rainstorm, but they don't seem to mind. That image helped me really begin to get at what Paul means when he prays that we would be given the power to comprehend, think about this, the height and depth and breadth and length of the love of God, a love that surpasses all knowing, so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you begin to comprehend God's love for you? Can you even begin? I mean, he tells us that he prays that we would know, and then he says, but it's beyond all knowing. When we think we've taken hold of it, it goes out before us even further. It goes below us even deeper. We spend our whole lives seeking to know the love of God. You know, it's interesting in this presidential election season, right? There's a lot of talk about power these days. And this is one of the central themes in this letter to the Ephesians, power and love. A lot of people see they have love of power, and they build their house on a house of sand, right? When the rains come and the storms come, that house is just washed away. But there are others who see that they don't love power, but they experience the power of love. That's the story of the way the gospel has spread from the very earliest times. Jesus exemplified this. He was born in Nazareth. Everybody would say, what good can come from Nazareth? And Nazareth was a poor village in the nation of Israel. And nobody thought anything good could come from there. It was the other side of the tracks, as they say. But Jesus did. He came and he lived a nomadic life. He didn't have a home to call his own, a place to lay his head. He was an itinerant preacher. He wandered around from village to village, and he went where the people were, in the public squares, in the homes of those who were ostracized by the culture, those that those in power called sinners. Jesus delighted in eating with those who were labeled sinners or outcast or other. That's how God's power became known through Christ. And Christ persisted in his ministry all the way to the cross. Such was the power of Christ's love that he laid down his life not only for those who were lowly or outcast, but for the very people who were nailing him to the cross. That is the love that Paul talks about here, and that is the power of love. That is the work of the church, dear friends. We show the power that comes through humility and through generosity and through service. Jesus said in the upper room during the Last Supper, he said, you should wash the feet of others, wash the muck and the mire and the mud off of the feet, even the hooves, of others. You wash the world away. Take the form of a servant, a slave. That's how God's power is made known in the world. And so that's a vision that I have for all of us. What would it look like for us to be filled to the point of overflowing with the love of God, so that everywhere we go, it's spilling out of us, maybe making the ground around us muddy, so that others step in it and get coated in the mud? What would that look like? Where the love of God becomes sticky and it begins to stick the lives of our households and our workplaces and the grocery store where we shop and the neighborhoods in which we live and the city. What would that look like for the love of God to spill out of us all the time? You know, Paul was a man of prayer. The gospel had power through Paul's preaching, not because of any power he held on his own, but because of his ability to allow Christ to work within him. And that didn't happen by accident. It happened with a lot of intentionality. Paul was a man of prayer. He would pray. He even said, pray continuously. Here's a modern day example. A late 20th century giant in the faith was Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And it was said that Archbishop Tutu got up several hours before daylight every morning and prayed. He'd pray for 3 hours, 4 hours before he even started his work. And then as he was going about his day, those with him would report that he would often stop and pray and lead others in prayer before he began a new task. I imagine that's how the power of God was so evident in his life and his ministry, because he was a person of prayer. I have to tell you, that puts my prayer life to shame. I need to up my game. I don't pray like that. But God willing, I pray that I can get there, right? I want to be a church who prays, who doesn't stand on power that we derive from ourself, from our privilege, from our property, but a power that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would know the height and depth and breadth and length, a love of God that surpasses all knowing, and that we would pursue that with our entire lives, because if this love is beyond any of our ability to comprehend it, then we've got to spend all of our lives pursuing it, right? We can't just stop one day and say, well, I think I've had enough of God's love. I want more. Don't you want more? I want more of it. And I want to share more of it. I want the world to know more of it. I want us to stop arguing and fighting and tearing each other apart. I want to build something together that's lasting, not watching what was built by future generations deteriorate and wash away. Amen? Y'all, that's our job. We can't fix all the problems in the society around us on our own. But boy, we could pursue the love of God with everything that we've got, and we can let it spill out of us so that it gets all over everybody around us, and they have to carry it around for a while. We need to first be a people who pray fervently, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be found to be in Christ. Do you ever notice that? The modern church, at least when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, would talk about asking Jesus into your heart. And I've learned, when you read the scriptures, it was always that we need not to ask Jesus into our heart, but first and foremost to be found in Christ. We need to ask to be in Him. And when we all do that, then Christ comes and takes up residence in our heart and our lives through the Holy Spirit to bind us together. We collectively are a family, a body. Together, we are the Jesus that an unbelieving world hoping for more can see. Our relationships together help others to see Jesus at work within the world. And so we need to pray, dear friends, that we first and foremost are found in Christ, so that Christ can be found in us. Amen? That's how that works. And we do that so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Imagine for just a moment being poured into, like that horse trough I talked about, to such a degree that love just comes spilling out of you. How do we do that? First of all, through prayer, as I've been talking about, we spend time at the foot of our Savior. And we just seek to know Him. Read God's Word. Spend time in prayer, listening more than you speak. Let God's Word, God's love shape you. Second, we've got to gather together. We are a family, as Paul says in verse 14. We are members of one family, one body. And if we're going to grow in relationship with one another and with Jesus, we got to get together from time to time. Not just in a service like this where you listen to me talk for 20 minutes, but in a place where we listen to the Spirit emerging in all of us, and where we pray with one another and for one another. So you've been hearing me talk about the launch of neighborhood-based small groups as part of the way that we're going to experience abundantly more next year. Churches don't grow when the pastor and staff do everything. Our work is to support your work. Do you know that's why we have paid staff members and pastors at churches? It's not to do the work of ministry, it's to support you in empowering you to do the work of ministry. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to support you in doing the work of ministry. We're going to empower you. We're going to ask you to open up your homes, some of you. Some of you, we're going to ask to participate in the groups, to lead, to pray, to show up, to invite. There'll be work for all of us to do in different measures. Some will offer your houses. Some will offer to teach. Some will offer to pray. Some will offer to invite others. Some will attend. But when we all begin to organize in this way and we're reaching out in concern and compassion to our neighbors and our friends, man, the Spirit's going to bubble up within you and you're going to spill that love out in the lives of people who live around you. That's the gospel. That's the way it spreads. Just asking people to come here and listen to me talk doesn't stir people's hearts. But when God's working through you and your groups in the neighborhoods in which you live, work, and play, and then you invite people to gather to celebrate the work of God among us, what God's doing in all of our small groups, that's what we're doing. When we come together, people will be like, well, I'll come and be a part of that. And that's how the room gets to be a little bit more full. We've talked about how we do hands-on service and how important that is. Folks want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They want to see how their life can make a difference. And so we need to provide opportunities to invite people to come together to change the world in a tangible way, to roll up their sleeves and put in what I call sweat equity. And so we're going to create opportunities for hands-on service where we go and we do home repair. We go and we rake up leaves. We go and we pray for our neighbors. We go and we provide food for somebody who needs it. And we're going to find out about what's needed through you. Hey, I have a neighbor who I've noticed this. All right, go knock on their door and say, hey, my church is getting together a work day. Can we go and help with this need? Right? That's how that's going to work. We might even take a couple of Sundays next year and our worship will be serving. Instead of gathering in here, we're going to gather out there with work gloves and jeans or shorts. It's hot here. But that's the vision. That's how God's going to accomplish abundantly more through us. We've got empty buildings. They should be filled with people as often as they can be. If not 24/7, 365, at least, 14/7, 350, right? Because there's some weekends and holidays in there. And so we're going to embark on a strategy next year to fill our biggest rooms downtown and west, even the smallest rooms, with people. We're going to host conferences and concerts, and we're going to figure out how to do that. And through those gatherings, we're going to invite people into community and into service. We're going to change the way that we're doing church, not for its own sake, but for the sake of the gospel. We just sang a beautiful song. It's a song I hadn't sung very much, but it's one I always love introducing congregations to. What gift can we bring? And it talks about how we give thanks for the past, for those who had vision, who planted and watered so that dreams could come true. But sometimes what was built by past people that we dearly love becomes an end in of itself. And we don't realize, out of our great care and admiration for those who got us to this place, that if they were here now, they would say, that building, that property, that whatever, that ministry wasn't the end. The end was reaching people with the gospel. And so if what we did 20 years ago isn't working now, do something else. Use the asset that we developed, the property, the place, the ministry, and turn it a little bit, so that it can continue to meet the culture right where it is today and the gospel can continue to advance. And so that's what we do as we inaugurate this stewardship season for 2025. We give thanks for all of those people that you can name that built this church. I'm talking spiritually built it up. I'm talking physically by giving generously so that we could have property and buildings. But now it's up to us to maximize the gifts that have been trusted to us. And so it's going to look a little different than it has in past generations, but it's going to continue to build on the strong foundation that we've been given. I'm excited about that. Aren't you? And so we're going to experience together the power of love, and we're going to share that with each other. We're going to do it by gathering in small groups, studying the word together, praying for and with one another, asking others if we can pray for and with them. That's how that love is going to spill out of us as we continually are poured into and we're pouring out, poured into and pouring out. You see? And so as you consider how God might do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine in and through you next year, this is where you start. God, how can I offer more of my time to be with you? That's the first question. Figure out how to do it. Maybe it's getting up 30 minutes earlier. Maybe it's somewhere in the end of the day. Maybe it's setting an alarm on your phone so that you stop and pray at some point during your day. You've got to figure out what that looks like for your schedule. Then saying, okay, God, how might I be more present for others in the church who are seeking you so that together we can pour into one another? And then three, where are the places where you might have me pour out so that your love can be made known in the darkest places? Those are the three questions. How might I spend more time with you? Where might I gather with others outside of Sunday morning worship to pour into them and to be poured into? And then three, where might I pour out so that others might know your love? That's what abundantly more is all about. And it takes funding to make all of that happen. Money fuels mission. It's just the reality of it. Buildings are expensive. Electric bills for commercial facilities are high. But when you contribute to the general ministries of the church, we tithe 10%, just like we hope you'll consider growing to tithe 10% of what God's entrusted to you out the door to mission. We hope to grow that to be even more of the footprint of our budget. And we give hope an address so people can connect with Jesus through us in the physical places in which we're located. And we can then channel them into community and into service. Right? That's what it's all about. And so I'll end where I began today. I pray that you'll consider a commitment of whatever it is that you can do. Maybe $5 a month is a huge step of faith. That's awesome. Start there. Even a dollar a week, a dollar a month, whatever you can do makes a really big difference. And it's not about the church's need for money. It's about your need for faith. When you take those steps, when you arrange your life to be able to give to God's purposes, it changes you. And when you're changed, the church is changed. And when the church is changed, the world is changed. And it's easy for you to say, preacher, I know, but I've experienced it personally. That's why I'm up here preaching about it. If this were just about the church's need for money, it would be about the love of power, and I'm not going to have anything to do with that. This is about the power of love. And when we sacrifice, when we serve, yeah, that love becomes even more powerful in all of our lives. And so, friends, we had the opportunity to experience abundantly more. We're standing on the precipice of this future, this possibility, and I'm so excited about all that God is doing and all that God will do. Let's do abundantly more together. Amen. Mm-hmm.